This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. A year ago, four mountain climbers set off on a daring, untried expedition and emerged a month later in bedraggled and conflicted triumph, though they really haven't climbed anything at all. Here's NPR's Alex Chadwick with a National Geographic radio expedition set in Tibet.
The mountaineers were not trying to summit an unconquered peak. They were looking for the birthing area of a rare Tibetan antelope called the shiru. These wild animals produce the finest wool in the world. A single woven shawl will sell for up to $15,000, which is why the shiru are in grave danger of being hunted to extinction for their pelts. The renowned explorer-biologist George Schaller of the Wildlife Conservation Society has tried to call more attention to the endangered species. He studied them for 15 years.
George had succeeded in nearly completing the natural history of these animals.
That's the expedition leader, Rick Ridgway, who learned about the shiru from George Schaller.
All except for tracing the migration route of the females northward, somewhere to a hitherto unknown calving grounds in a very remote range of peaks called the Kunlun Mountains. And he needed to know where those animals went to have their calves to complete this long-term study he had been conducting. So I thought, well, what if you tried to follow these animals on foot? And he thought it was possible.
Well, it's barely possible. They must follow the shiru for hundreds of miles across a huge plateau in northern Tibet, trekking by themselves with no chance of help from anyone if they get in trouble.
I felt the only real qualification to join this trip would be toughness. We needed people who had experience on expeditions, preferably who were mountaineers. And that's the only real qualification that I had and that the others on the trip had, except perhaps for Galen.
That's Galen Rowell, a near mythic figure in mountaineering. At 62 years old, he had lightweight physicality, superb conditioning, and stamina that climbers around the world told stories about. 40 years ago, Galen began to pioneer adventure and mountain photography with a style and technique later copied everywhere.
Galen Rowell, of all of us, had the most experience tracking wild animals. And as a wildlife photographer, he also knew how to stalk them. And we really depended on Galen's expertise.
With Galen and Rick Ridgway, the other members of the team were also highly accomplished. Conrad Anker, one of the greatest American mountain climbers. 4 years ago, he found the body of the legendary British mountaineer George Mallory on Mount Everest. And Jimmy Chin, a younger Wyoming-based climber photographer with a reputation for steadfastness. They would need that. George Schaller's attempt to find the calving ground a year earlier had failed after his pack animals died. So now these expeditioners would go totally on their own. No guides, no Sherpas, no mules, just the four of them across Tibet's great Changtang Plateau. Rick Ridgway.
It's a huge area of about 150,000 square miles, a desolate place that's sparsely populated, inhabited only by occasional nomads who make their living herding goats and sheep and yak.
You figured if you're going to try to find these animals, how are you going to do it?
The planning for this trip was difficult. Because it was uninhabited, there was no way to resupply an expedition. There were no roads into the region. There were no people to rely on. And consequently, we had to carry everything ourselves for a distance that we knew was going to be well over 200 miles. And when we ran the numbers, as it were, we realized we would have to carry well over 200 pounds of supplies.
That's 200 per person.
Yes, and you just can't do that in a backpack. So we had this idea to traverse it with carts or rickshaws.
Oh, the moment of truth.
In video and pictures from the expedition, the things do look like rickshaws, but built from heavy-duty aluminum. With them, the four men set off across the Changtang Plateau, a vast, dry landscape at 16,000 feet. First, they had to find the migrating herd of pregnant shiru.
Perhaps the poaching had been so severe that there weren't enough animals left to migrate. All we could do was hope that somehow our path would cross the path of the migration. And we were about 1 week into our walk when, towards the end of the day, we found a beautiful little campsite nestled in these black basaltic rocks. And after parking our carts, we hiked up to the top of this ridge and, following Galen's advice, belly crawled the last few feet. And there, looking off into this little valley covered with golden grass in the afternoon sun, there were 70 or 80 shiru grazing, more than we'd ever seen at a time up till then. And while we were watching, another dozen animals appeared on the ridge line, and we knew it. We knew we had found the migration route.
Now they could follow the animals to the actual calving ground for pictures and geographic coordinates, evidence for conservationists to persuade China to protect the area. An article in the current National Geographic traces their route and hardships. They enter a narrowing canyon they dub the Gorge of Despair. It's sometimes only 10 feet wide. They fear becoming trapped. In places, they lose the trail of the shiru. But eventually they emerge into a broad valley where they discover hundreds of the antelope, some already giving birth.
That moment was singular in the whole expedition.
Expeditioner Conrad Anker.
Expeditions, for what I've traditionally done, they've been, you hike to a base camp and you acclimatize and then you have a flurry of activity and you make it to the top and you come down. Here, we were active for 1 month. Every day we hiked, on a long day, 24 miles, on a short day, 4 miles, in very difficult terrain. And it was more fulfilling because it wasn't about attaining some goal that makes our ego feel good. It was about these rare and endangered animals that are tied into the bigger picture of the health of our planet.
They spent 2 days photographing the shiru calving ground. Then, supplies dwindling, they began trekking to the nearest town 5 days away. But just 2 days later, they made a second important discovery, new threats to the shiru. Conrad Anker.
We were shocked to see a gold mine, a large operation, 100 miners, and they had just come in the past 2 months, punched a road in there, and they had degraded the environment to a large extent, and it made it easier for us to get out, but worse was that it was easier now to get in there in a vehicle.
Where there is a road, there will soon be poachers and hunting rifles. It was a somber end to an expedition that otherwise worked brilliantly. And worse personal news lay ahead. This would be the last expedition for their beautiful partner, Galen Rowell. Within months of returning to the U.S., he and his wife Barbara died in a small plane crash. Their friends still mourn them. Rick Ridgway.
For him, and I think for all of us, it was the most fulfilling trip we've had because it was about applying our skills as a mountaineer to a conservation effort that, if we really succeeded in this, could make a difference. It could encourage the Chinese to set this area aside as a nature preserve to protect the calving grounds.
The conservation effort to protect the shiru in Tibet continues. George Schaller is there right now on another survey. You can see pictures from the expedition and find more information about shiru conservation and Galen Rowell's remarkable life through links at npr.org. For Radio Expeditions, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society.